Chapter 8. Expatriates. The First Family. Several times a week, I had occasion to walk across the Academia Bridge, and whenever I did, I turned and looked down the Grand Canal toward the great domes of Santa Maria della Salute, easily one of the most familiar picture postcard images of Venice. Late one afternoon, as I was crossing the bridge and looking in this direction, I happened to notice an elegant motor launch idling quietly in front of a Gothic palace about 60 yards away, the second palace from the bridge on the St. Mark's side. The boat was a venerable Riva, the doge of luxury motorboats. It was about 40 years old, 20 feet long, and made of a rich mahogany trimmed in chrome. A tall man with gray hair stood at the wheel, holding his hand out to a woman who was stepping from the dock into the boat. She was dressed completely in white, from headband to shoes. Even her glasses had white frames, and her hair was white as well. After the woman had taken her seat, the man eased the boat out into the Grand Canal, stern first, as casually as if he were backing a car out of a garage. Then he turned and headed in the direction of the Salute Church and St. Mark's. I was struck by the idea that a ride on the Grand Canal in this motorboat, which would have been a thrill for me, was most likely a daily routine for this couple. They might have been going shopping, to dinner, or to visit friends. They moved around Venice not only in style, but low to the water, the way Venetians had done for centuries, much closer to water level, at any rate, than if they had been standing on the deck of a lumbering vaporetto. A week or so later, I saw the couple in their boat again. They were returning to the palace from the direction of the Rialto. As before, the woman was dressed completely in white, but this time she had on slacks instead of a skirt and a sweater instead of a blazer. "That had to be Patricia Curtis," Rose Lauritsen said later on. "She always wears white." "Always?" I asked. "Why?" "I don't really know. She's worn white as long as I've known her. Peter, why does Patricia wear white?"
"I haven't any idea," said Peter.
"White may just be her color," said Rose. "It's probably as simple as that."
"But now that you mention it," said Peter, directing his comment to me, "I must tell you that Patricia Curtis is an interesting woman for many reasons, the very least of which is that she always wears white."
"The man you saw her with is her husband, Carlo Vigano," said Rose. "He's terribly nice. They both are, I mean, really nice people."
"Patricia Curtis," said Peter, "is a fourth-generation American expatriate. Her great-grandparents, Daniel Sargent Curtis and Ariana Wormley Curtis, came to Venice from Boston in the early 1880s with their son Ralph, Patricia's grandfather."
"Not only nice," said Rose, "but well-liked."
"The Curtises," said Peter, "were rich, old-line Bostonians whose ancestry went back to the Mayflower. They bought Palazzo Barbaro, and their descendants have lived there ever since."
"Carlo has a business in Malaysia," said Rose. "Manufacturing, I forget what."
"In terms of seniority," said Peter, "the Curtises are way ahead of all the other English-speaking expatriates in Venice. They're in a class by themselves."
"Tablecloths and napkins," said Rose. "That's what he makes. Carlo's company, I mean."